And so I was sent to an Asian dude upstairs from a very dodgy Vietnamese restaurant for physics and chemistry. And he'd quiz you in front of the whole class. Like, he would ask different students different questions. And I would be the one student every single week who'd sit there and stare blankly at him and shake my head. I don't know. And then he'd, you know, try and pry an answer out of me. And I still wouldn't know. I refuse. I couldn't learn that way.
Tutoring. A lot of us have been there after school at a desk doing more work so we can get better grades. But what sort of tutoring should we be getting, and when is too early to start? Hello and welcome to Shoes Off, stories about Asian Australian culture. I'm Jay Uy. Like many of you, I spent much of my after-school hours at some form of tutoring centre, be they group classes or private lessons, and while some white kids do go to tutoring, I definitely noticed most of my peers were Asian. Why is that? And what place should tutoring have in our lives? On today's episode, I'm going to talk to someone who went to a lot of tutoring, as well as someone who works as a tutor, but first up, a mum who sent their kids to tutoring. Did you go to tutoring growing up?
I did. In Malaysia, it is a done thing. It's like everybody does it, really, literally everybody. You have tuition for your languages, and then you have tuition for maths. And people who did science, who had tuition for physics and chemistry as well. But we weren't that well off. So we literally just had tuition for maths, and that's it. My name is Wan, and I was born in Malaysia and didn't come to Australia until 1977 when I was 19 years old. And that was the first time I went on a plane to come over here to Australia. I was actually a pretty good student. I was a studious student, actually, in Malaysia. But I wasn't really that smart. I wasn't a smart top. Whatever percent. So I actually knew, I sort of have a feeling I could not get into the big university in Malaysia. And in those days, there's probably only two. And there's no way I would be able to get in, no way.
Wan grew up as one of nine kids in Malaysia. But when she knew she wouldn't be able to get into a good university there, she applied to come to Australia to study. And luckily, she got accepted. Despite her family being quite poor growing up, they still knew that tutoring was important and prioritised their spending on that. In East Asia, tutoring is so ubiquitous that more than 70% of secondary school aged kids in Taiwan, Hong Kong and South Korea use private tutors. And in the US, Asians overall spend more of their income on extra education than things like housing and transportation, especially when compared to the general population.
It's interesting that, like, even though you guys weren't that well off, that it was still, I guess, a big priority for your parents to send you.
Oh, very much so, very much so. Mm-hmm. Because Chinese got a saying that if you don't study, you are a blind cow. So that means blind cow. Where are you going to do? You can't mow the land, you can't plow the land, you can't do anything, literally, you know?
Blind cow. I kind of like it. I might try it in an email sometime.
Yeah. Oh, so wow. You better not be a blind cow. Or you ended up sweeping the street, a street sweeper, you'll see. So these are the things that you get told when you're small. So study hard.
So yes, it's a very Asian thing to get tutoring.
And are most, if not all of your kids Asian?
Correct. I've got one or two students who are, you know, of Caucasian background, and everyone else is pretty much Asian.
That's Vietnamese-Australian David Tran. Once a student of tutoring, now he's a tutor himself and also a high school teacher.
Why do you think Asians tend to send their kids to tutoring? Like, why is it an Asian thing?
I've always, you know, questioned this as well. And when I visit Vietnam, for example, their education system, it's a disadvantage if you don't go tutoring. Right? And so a lot of the time their school teachers will advocate for them to go tutoring. And so the tutoring environment, you know, in Vietnam is, you know, it's almost a must. And so I think a lot of the parents, for example, have brought that mentality here. And it's like, you know, if you go tutoring, it can only add to your education. It can't detract from it in any way.
This obsession with studying has deep roots, with China having standardized testing continuously since the year 206 BC. And for a lot of Asians, studying hard and getting good grades means you're more likely to get a good job. And especially when you're from countries with very high populations and limited resources, Professor Ying Jieguo from the University of Sydney says it's hard to stand out.
Because there's a large population, resources are always scarce, including social and symbolic resources. Social respect, for example, social distinction. These are very precious and scarce resources, and they can't be distributed freely or evenly. There is a way of differentiating the amount of social capital, social prestige one person gets.
Okay, so you have migrants coming from countries where populations are high and tutoring is very, very common. Coming to a country where they're looking to provide the best opportunities for their kids to excel in school. And so naturally, you get situations like this.
What age did you start tutoring?
Don't know exactly. Definitely when I was quite young, probably like year four or something.
That's Ben, a child of Hong Kong parents. He grew up in Sydney and definitely had his fair share of tutoring.
Well, it definitely wasn't just one class. Like, there were multiple classes for like different things.
How did you view tutoring at the time when you were doing it?
I hated it.
Why did you hate it?
Basically, you're just doing more school or doing more homework.
This is pretty common. A lot of tutoring places just give you more work on stuff you're already doing at school, or they teach you what you're about to learn at school. So how effective is it? Well, it does work. I asked Ben and David if it would have helped them get into these streamed classes in schools in Sydney.
Yeah, I think so. Like, it is. Yeah, I reckon definitely, like, having the exposure, knowing what types of questions to expect and getting your mind to like start thinking about those things in that way definitely would have helped.
The education that I got in primary school was not well differentiated, so it didn't cater to the fact that I obtained the knowledge quite quickly. And so my teachers definitely didn't push me hard enough. So when I went into tutoring, I obtained a lot more knowledge in a very short amount of time. So it definitely prepared me very well.
And even one knew that it would help for one of her kids.
If a child needs help, which one of our child did, so we actually sort of got her into tutoring a little bit earlier. She had problem with her maths. She was doing all right until year 7, year 8, and then you can see the literal plunging from the 90s, 80s, 70s to 60s. And she was nearly failing. Something was very, very wrong. And we know that this child is capable, so I thought we needed some help. And we found help, and she just picked up, you know, within the next test, she was up.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm not saying a school system is not working right, but sometimes if you come across some teachers that just not suitable for your child, maybe, you know, so they become disinterested, then you need to do something about it. You really do need to, and we were just desperate. We said, okay, all right, go, tutoring. So there you go.
Yep, all three agreed that tutoring definitely helped them or their kids do better in exams. I grew up being sent to tutoring with Wan and her kids, or as I call her, Auntie Wan, so I had this impression that her kids went to a lot of tutoring as well. But turns out, I wasn't quite right.
But I do not want to go to just any tutoring school indiscriminately, because what I heard from a lot of people was it's just... They tend to just do academic stuff. So year 7, they'll do give you year 8 stuff. Year 8, you do year 9 stuff. And I thought, yeah, you learn all this, and then what are you going to do in the class? Of course, you're going to bore stiff. And then what are you going to do, you know? It doesn't work that way.
So it's interesting because you came from, like, your childhood where everyone did tutoring and they did lots of tutoring. What made you decide to do things differently for your kids?
I just don't think, to me, it's like, you know, you're shoving your kids over to somebody to babysit them and holding their hands to do their homework all the time, and it's not right. And it comes back to that, the fact that you're not teaching them to be self-reliant. And I'm really definitely against that. It's just, how long can you keep holding their hands for? Yeah. You know, they got to grow up sometime. They have to. And it has to come from them.
This hand-holding and spoon-feeding, it's so common for a lot of us Asians. We feel more comfortable studying things that are right and wrong, and things we can essentially memorize and don't have to have an opinion on. So what's a different approach to tutoring? I asked David, who started up his own tutoring center, because he experienced some particularly bad tutoring.
Part of growing up in an Asian household means that your parents want to send you to a reputable Asian tutor. All right, one that, you know, their friends have sent their kids to. And so I was sent to an Asian dude upstairs from a very dodgy Vietnamese restaurant for physics and chemistry. And you basically survive through memorizing the content each week, and he'll quiz you on it. And I have a very bad memory when it comes to things I don't enjoy. And he'd quiz you in front of the whole class. Like, he would ask different students different questions, and I would be the one student every single week who'd sit there and stare blankly at him and shake my head. I don't know. So I couldn't learn that way. But he was cheap as well. And, you know, because he was cheap and his methods have been proven to work on a vast majority of Asian students, you know, my parents insisted on me going there.
Paying to send your kids somewhere where they just memorize stuff. Sound familiar?
So from that, I was like, nah, there's something very wrong with this style of tutoring. And then I went to an English tutor who allowed me to flourish with my own ideas, allowed me to be me. And, you know, he nurtured sort of my style of learning and made me feel comfortable. And I was like, there is a huge disparity in the tutoring market between a good tutor and a bad tutor. They both can deliver results, but one delivers it more effectively than another. So I was like, I want to be that tutor that makes kids feel comfortable, because that's the whole purpose of tutoring. A lot of kids go tutoring because school is ineffective for them. So you want to create an environment where the kids feel comfortable, they feel nurtured, they feel like excited to go to tutoring, not what I was feeling in that bloody chemistry and physics class, sitting there feeling like I was being grilled. I wanted to create that safe environment for students in the future.
So how do you do that?
You know, I don't know whether a lot of people out there will agree with this approach, but I see myself as sort of like a mentor and a friend in the tutoring environment. So when they come in, I sort of, you know, I try to, you know, approach it, show them a level of professionalism, but then remind them that they can trust me enough to talk to me about a whole range of things. And so I'm there to guide them through, you know, and I try to make myself a very approachable person. Whereas, you know, there are other tutors out there who are very, you know, I'm only here for your content and here to give you the content, you know, and that's the extent of my job. But I feel like that's ineffective tutoring. So I break down that barrier, and I always make sure that my kids can, you know, approach me at any time for whatever issue.
Yeah. And how does that work out?
It doesn't work out financially. It works out for the students in that they do trust me. They do come to me for a lot of things.
So David's approach is more as a mentor, and he tries to create an environment where students want to learn. And Ben likes this more relational approach to tutoring as well.
Do you feel like it's helped you, not just for your studies, but do you feel like it's helped you in life in general?
I think my maths tutor was more than just the tutor, I guess. Like, as a bit of a mentor as well. I think he was, he definitely helped me more than just in like maths, I guess. It's just nice. It's just like something more than just tutoring. It's like someone you can ask for advice for, more than just like, oh, you're paying them. And so they tell you about, they teach you a bit of stuff.
The downside is that sometimes they come to me for too many things. And as you know, once you've created that environment where you want them to come to you and you want to help them, it's hard to say no. And so then it becomes really hard to sort of like create your own personal space again, put those boundaries back up.
So often it's just a lot of listening and advice giving.
Yes, a lot of listening, a lot of advice giving, because the content itself, you know, it's not hard to give. You know, if they don't receive it in school, I can give them that content. But often it's the fact that they have a lot of questions about the vast amounts of content that they receive in school. And, you know, your job is to sort of like help them approach that content that they've already received.
David, Ben, and Juan all agree that the most effective style of tutoring is one that encompasses more than just feeding content to be memorized. And as someone who myself loves to learn, but is terrible at just memorizing stuff, I would have to agree. But still, why the need for tutoring? What is it that schools struggle to provide?
In tutoring, though, I have the luxury of a smaller class size. And that's one advantage that I have over schools, is that, you know, our max class size is like 6. Whereas a school, even in year 11 and 12, the max size is still 24. So it's 4 times the amount. And so it's very hard for the teacher to give enough individual attention. And if you think about it, the high school structure is the one teacher might teach, you know, the one subject to 4 to 5 to 6 different, you know, year groups. So that's almost like 1 to 200 kids that they have to teach a year. There is no way 1 to 200 kids is going to get enough individual attention from the one teacher. And that's the downside of the education system, is that the class sizes are way too big for any individual support to be given. Yeah.
Okay, so class sizes definitely impede the ability for individual differentiation, especially in high schools. But what else is problematic?
One criticism of tutoring, particularly by cultures that didn't grow up with tutoring or that's not part of their culture, is that it's I guess, giving these kids an unfair advantage and it's gaming the system. What do you think about that?
Okay. That, I think, is partially true. And because I think what it does is also in the tutoring system, all right, don't forget that they actually do look into the testing systems. So the kids doing tutoring will be quite more familiar with tests. One of the things that I found with the school system here was, I mean, coming from Asia, everything was like you get a test, you get a mark, how many percentage? Okay, you always get graded. But here, nobody grades you. You just say working towards, or what is it? Something I get satisfactory, something. Nothing we can really put your finger on how your child is doing, really. Okay, test is something that you don't have to do all the time. But at least if you let the kids be exposed to it before the test, you know, even if it is, I know some school actually runs it down. You know, a few sessions or whatever, just to let them get the taste of it. And so that they actually get an idea that, hey, I can't just keep daydream, you know. Once I sit on the test, yeah, I need to just concentrate and get it done.
Because I remember when I was in, I think I did like selective school and OC class preparation classes.
These are streamed classes and schools that are supposed to create a nurturing and challenging environment for the quote-unquote high-achieving students.
But I think the big thing I got out of it was practicing test-taking, because it's like knowing that you have an hour to answer 60 questions and you don't want to be stuck on a question for 5 minutes because you're losing out time.
That's right, yes.
But you don't, if you don't take enough tests and you... And essentially, they know the formula of the selective school test. So, if the selective school test is 60 questions, uh-huh. they're going to give you 60 questions as a practice. Uh-huh. And so, you kind of already know what to expect when you go into the test, which mm-hmm. is something mm-hmm. I guess you lose out on if you don't have that practice.
Yeah. Well, that is something the school could expose them to. Why not? Yeah.
So, schools could help us prepare for tests a little better. But David reckons as long as schools are focused on testing our knowledge of content, tutoring is always going to have a place. So, when is a good time to start? Juan has a particularly strong opinion on this.
But I would actually just think about in terms of just rather than just sending them indiscriminately to any school, you'd be better off to actually sit down with them and maybe even learn with them. Why not? It's not, you know, primary school maths. How hard could it be, really? Right? So it can be fun. To me, if you learn something with your child, you're actually building a bond and relationship. And if you do it when they're younger, they let you. Yeah, high school, they might not let you. Yeah. You think, oh gosh, all parents, you don't know anything. No, I know more than you do. I just don't feel that you should pile the kids with too much tutoring when they're young. You know, partly because a child should be a child, okay? They should have time to play. they should have time to do something else. So we encourage a lot of extracurricular activities rather than just tutoring itself.
A lot of people feel like it's, you know, unnecessary pressure on the kids, for example. So, you know, you're focusing by sending your kids to tutoring and telling your kids that you want them to do well in exams or in schools. That's the message that you're pushing onto them. And so a lot of people are, you know, of the view that you should just let kids be kids and that, you know, whatever results they get don't define them as a person. And that, so if you send them to tutoring, you're pretty much sending the message that they are defined by the results that they get and that they need to get good results.
What do you think about that?
I don't see how I think there's a healthy way to look at it, which is that in the real world anyway, you are judged on your performance. You know, regardless of where you go, you've got, you know, various different performance indicators on, you know, in different sectors. And so this is one example of that. So we need to teach kids to look at that in that way, in a positive way, as how to self-improve and what does this mark represent? You know, like a lot of the time that mark is attributed to your worth as a human being, you know, it's too big of a worth given to that mark. But if we teach them that this mark is indicative of your ability to do XYZ or your skill level in XYZ, and so you can improve in this way, then we have a much more healthy approach.
Yes, perspective matters. How much are grades being emphasized by parents and tutors? Are test scores the be all and end all? If so, maybe a different lens would help ease the pressure.
You know, if you want to do something extra, you know, learn another language, do something else, you know, go and play sports or whatever. That's extracurricular activities. It doesn't have to be tutoring. See, the thing also is, that's why I feel that extracurricular activities is also very important when you do that, because what it does is it actually introduces different types of population into their life. So they will have something else, not just the school. So it won't be the same type of people. So I just felt that your child will actually, I think the child will actually grow up much happier and more balanced. And what you do is you also expose them to so many different things and it opens up their eyes.
Okay, so tutoring is a big part of many Asian cultures and good grades are seen as a stepping stone towards a stable career. But not all tutoring is equal. Whilst rote learning and being spoon-fed might get you better exam scores, it doesn't necessarily foster good learning patterns and can remove some self-autonomy, which can come back to bite us later in life. But as long as schools have classes the size they are and test the way they do, tutoring will always be around, whether we want to go or not. Let's just hope we pick better places to send our kids.
Would you send your kids to tutoring?
I'd consider it, actually. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely wouldn't do as much, I'd say. How much would also probably be driven by them as well. But I'd consider it.
I asked David the same question.
A lot of people are big critics of tutoring, but for me, it's simply a matter of you obtain more knowledge, more skills, you know, you develop your abilities. I don't see any negative in it. So if I feel like my kids can be further developed in any way, for sure, I would definitely try and put out the time and the money for them to be able to develop those skills. Yeah.
And one?
And do you have any regrets in terms of how much tutoring or what sort of tutoring your kids had growing up?
We pretty much got it right. I don't think we overdid it. Partly because we actually did talk to them and see which areas they actually need help in. I think we're pretty much balanced. Yeah, we're pretty good because we did not just do everything.
And I think in terms of like the Asian thing, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, I think, are also now realizing that, you know, it gives you a good advantage. It's not necessarily an unfair advantage, but it actually helps build you and you know, your ability to approach academia. And so a lot of other nationalities are starting to send their kids to tutoring as well. So as long as we continue to look at it in a positive way and that we, you know, that tutoring is fostering the right skills in kids and that, you know, it's all about building their character and how they use knowledge, then, you know, it's a positive thing all around.
That's Asians and Tutoring. This episode of Shoes Off was written, produced, and edited by me, Jay Uri. Special thanks to all our guests, Won Chung, David Tran, Ben Heng, and Professor Ying Jie Guo. How was your tutoring experience? Let me know at facebook.com/shoesoffau. If you liked Shoes Off, please subscribe. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or head to shoesoff.net. And if you know someone who used to go to tutoring all the time after school, why not reminisce with them and share this episode? Thanks, and catch you next episode.
So I spend a lot of time talking to my students about how their teachers taught something or how their teacher has you know, disseminated information, for example, and then I'll try and help them to reconstruct that knowledge in a way that's meaningful for them. Because sometimes they'll walk away with, you know, like I said, all this knowledge, but they don't know how to use it. So my job is to give them tables and scaffolds and questions to guide them through the knowledge that they already possess.